Welcome to EPP bonus episode number 266 of Real Ghost Stories Online, where we continue our reading of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. We're going to dig further into it today. Some of my favorite stories in the book are coming up on today's episode, so I hope you're in a good place to hear some awesome ghost stories. Of course, eventually the book will be released. The audiobook version will be released publicly. But for now, EPPs are getting to get their first taste of the whole thing as supporters of our program. If you're just joining us as an EPP, last couple of weeks have had the book up to this point in it. So if you're just, like I said, getting into it now and you want to hear more from the book, be sure to go back into the archives and listen away. All right, let's get on with the episode this week. More from Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. The CB Radio. As a child of the 80s who remembers a world pre-internet, the first time I actually saw a CB radio in action was an incredible moment. It's a device that allowed you to talk to mysterious people whose names and personalities changed depending on your location. It was exciting. The CB represented a whole world of information and conversations that could be had with the simple pressing of a button. Who would be on the other end once your message was sent out? It was a mystery and an adventure. I remember as a teenager attempting to create a CB radio station with an old CB radio and a large antenna that I purchased from a friend. I rigged up a way to key the mic or keep my feed going without interruption, and began to broadcast top 40 radio hits of the time and talk between the songs as if it were a real radio station. I was young, naive, and clueless to the proper etiquette one should use in broadcasting on a CB channel, and the idea backfired. When my show finally ended, I had almost every CB radio enthusiast in my hometown riled up and searching the neighborhoods for the strong signal, trying to figure out where it was coming from. I knew this because looking out my front window, I saw a bunch of station wagons sporting large antennas driving up and down my road saying, "I think he's around here. Damn, I lost his signal." The event ended my CB broadcasting days. In this story, we hear the story of another child who was excited and intrigued by the voices he picked up on the CB radio, only to find out that a voice on the other end might not have belonged to the living. Joey shares this intriguing story. I was born and grew up in California, where I still reside. I've had so many supernatural or paranormal experiences in the tenure of my life that these words are almost pretentious to me. And the notion of someone being a skeptic is as silly as not believing that $1 million exists because they have never seen that much money. Most of these experiences I have kept close to me or secret as not to be singled out or labeled paranormal myself. The experiences that I've shared with people I disguise as ghost stories that most listeners love and beg me to tell again. Much like you, since I was a child, I've been completely fascinated with radio, broadcasting, and other forms of long-range communication with any others who might be listening. My first memory of this interest is from when I was very young, and my dad gave me an old CB radio that he had bought at a yard sale. I was completely enamored and devoted all of my attention to this device. I refocused my devotion from playing Contra or having dirt clod wars to communicating with others over CB. I met and chatted with so many CB and ham radio dorks that the number is unfathomable. Among all of these people, each of whom was fascinating, only one stands out in my memory. He was my age. And I met him via CB only a little while after I delved into this endeavor. We liked all the same things. Ninja Turtles, Star Wars, He-Man, The Lost Boys. I could go on, but it would be far too extensive. Above all, we both loved ghost stories and creepy-ass shit. He indeed came to be the brother I never had, as my other three brothers were a bit younger and I was relegated to raising them by myself because both of my parents worked full-time jobs to provide. We were poor but rich in love and the very simple things in life. My regular fulfillment came from chatting with this best friend of mine who I'd never formally met in person. I still remember preparing dinner for my brothers, then hurrying them to brush their teeth, bathe, and to get to bed promptly so that I could bask in my radio wave indulgence. I couldn't wait to talk to my first and only best friend, who was the only kid who could spin a yarn of ghost stories better than I could. During our early sessions, I asked him his name, and he said, "You can call me T-1000, or T for short," and that he was from Wisconsin. He told me that his dad, Jim, was a local late-night radio station DJ in that area. I was completely flattered every time he would say, "Hey, you need to call the station, and my dad will put you on the air." T was truly my dearest friend. He would chat damn near every day, and we would conduct special broadcasts for each other on our birthdays and on holidays like Christmas, Thanksgiving, and especially Halloween. Over time, I've maintained many relationships and jobs here and there, but nothing compared to my connection with T and my love for radio. It was a beautiful autumn day, 2 days before Halloween, and I was enthralled by the weekend barbecue atmosphere we enjoyed with some real oldies playing in the background. The song Stand By Me started playing when I felt compelled to sit down and contact T to tease him about how great my Halloween ghost stories were going to be. To my surprise, I had a negative response all day. This was extremely out of the ordinary, to say the least. I didn't overreact because there had been times when he was not on the air, although to this day, I honestly can't recall a day when he wasn't. Halloween came and went, and nothing. No response, just dead air. I was a bit distraught and very concerned about the only true friend I had. I left my radio on all hours of day and night, and every penny of my paychecks went to boosting my signal with bigger and better antenna, equipment, and so on. I tried tirelessly to contact T to no avail, and even faked sick days just to try all day to get some contact. I was an empty shell of a person, and became even more introverted and self-reliant than before, with taking care of and raising my younger brothers as my only other concern. It had been about 3 months and 7 days since the last contact, and one night, after putting my brothers to bed, I sat myself in my chair and began broadcasting with every fiber of my soul, my sense of hope hanging by a thread. After an hour or so, I remember hanging my head in despair, while a single tear fell from my eye, and I transmitted, "T, I miss you so much, brother." Then I heard a voice, then static. Then the garbled voice again, as if it were such a weak transmission that static was always in the background. I remember thinking, "This is impossible. My equipment is incredible." I shot forward and shouted, "T? T, is that you? Come in, please. I miss you, please." I heard his static-covered voice respond, "Tony, my name is Tony." I screamed with tears in my eyes. "I miss you, Tony. Where are you? What happened to you?" Through static, he replied, "Join us on the radio. We need you." I replied, "I will. Tell me how to find you, Tony. I'll go." There was a long pause, muffled by the cacophony of static. Then I heard the words, "Not yet. This is T, signing off." I felt a tremor within me that was soul-destroying. It's like you've been asleep after suffering the loss of a loved one or losing your first love, and you're suddenly ripped back into the reality of that loss, waking to the torment and anguish of being. It's like every sad emotion floods back into your mind and your inner soul struggles to sustain itself. A few minutes passed as I sat there, staring at my desk, listening to the faint static, when another voice came through. "Hello? Say again," he said. I recognized it. That voice, it was Jim, T's dad. I shot up from my seat and shouted into the mic, Jim, come in. What happened to T? Where is he? Is he okay?" He replied, "What? Who is this? What do you want?" I said, "Jim, please, I'm trying to get a hold of T. Where is he? Is he okay?" "What, is this a joke? Who is this?" Jim asked in confusion. "Is your name Jim or not?" I shouted with frustration. "Where is your son T? Is he all right?" "My son's name is Tony. Only his friends called him T because it got underneath my son's skin, but you must be confused with some other person." My son died about 25 years ago. Sorry, young fella. I couldn't even muster the mental capacity to complete my sentence as my head swirled in clouds of sadness, confusion, and false hope. I tried to think of something to say or ask to make it all not true or disapprove this heart-wrenching information. I shakily muttered, How'd he die, sir, if you don't mind? All the facts come from his buddy who survived that day. Tony and his buddy would always go down there and play in them woods. Well, the story, as his buddy tells it, is that they was playing army like they loved to do, and in between their pretend battle, they found a tattered old radio flyer wagon flipped upside down. They turned it over, excited about what they could do with it, and they felt like it was Christmas morning because they found a couple of walkie-talkies underneath the damn thing. They turned them on, and both walkies worked fine. Those two kids spent the whole damn day playing with their newfound treasures. They was taking a break around evening sometime. They had heard some faint sobbing coming from a nearby creek, and it was barely audible over the creek and general noises from them woods, but they went to go see what it was. They came across a little girl about their age in a tattered blue dress with quite a big scrape on her leg that was bleeding pretty good, and she was crying gently. My boy asked her if she was hurt and if she was lost, and she said, yes, I can't find my way home. And my boy asked, where is it? And she said, it's a few blocks into town. My boy, I guess, was wanting to be the hero of the day, and he'd take her into town, but his buddy said, no way, no how. So Tony said, fine, you big baby, I'll go on home. I'll take her myself. Just keep your walkie-talkie on you, and we can still communicate. So apparently the little girl flashed a slight grin and seemed pleased to my son's obliging. She upped herself into the wagon, and both of them boys went off in their separate directions, and the walkies turned on. For the next 45 minutes or so, the boys was chatting back and forth to make sure everything's all right, and about this time, my son's walkie started cutting out and getting staticky and whatnot, and, well, his buddy said that what he heard was my boy saying something like, just about there now, then it was static for about another 10 minutes or so. Last thing he heard was my boy scream, the static for a minute, and then the last thing he heard over that walkie was what sounded like giggling from a little girl. And that's going to wrap up the preview portion of this EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I hope you enjoyed it. If you, of course, want the full episode, which includes a bonus story that has never been read on the air from Oscar in Dallas about a creepy little boy he encounters while jogging around the Dallas area, you got to hear the rest of it. Become an extra podcast person, EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You'll get access to this and every single EPP bonus episode. This episode marks the entirety of the audiobook. It's all there for you now as an EPP, as well as, of course, all EPP bonus episodes, advanced episodes, so much there for you for only $5 a month, which supports the show and keeps it on the air. Do check it out, and thank you for the support. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.